الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: وإذا الموءودة سئلت بأي ذنب قتلت، وإذا الصحف نشرت، وإذا السماء كشطت، وإذا الجحيم سعرت، وإذا الجنة أزلفت، علمت نفس ما أحضرت. صدق الله العظيم. In continuing with our surah, the 81st surah of the Quran, which we talked about last week in part, and this week in continuing, the first ayah that we recite, for example, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, Allah is directly giving rights to a female. What used to happen in the days of ignorance, and when we say the days of ignorance, it's not that people did not have a high IQ back then. It has nothing to do with brain power. It has nothing to do with business strength. It has nothing to do with trading strength and trading partners and financial resources. When we say, or when Islam uses the phrase days of ignorance, it is referring to that group of people that deny a creator while knowing that there is something behind their very creation. I know, for example, I was not just born just like that. I know we have parents, we have grandparents, there is a lineage, there is a beginning point, there is going to be an end point. Things don't just come into existence at random. Things that are random are generally accidents, and things that are accidents don't create any blessed outcome. Of course, there is variability from a genetic point of view, but that is to continue. Allah creates variability and differences, so humans and that which is around can continue through a form of strength to create benefit for their species and their outcome. Now, regarding this given phrase of how women used to be killed, what used to happen was, it was said, once a female is born, she's going to bring tremendous amount of burden to the family. That means you have to spend on her, you have to take part in nurturing her, make it such that resources will be spent her way, and there was a negative connotation to that. Now, my brothers and sisters, as Muslims, what we say, yes, back then they used to kill their daughters, but now, alhamdulillah, Allah made it such, we give them an inheritance, we don't kill them. Yes, that is true. But there are other things we do with our daughters that kills them. See, killing is not just burying a person alive. Killing comes in different ways. For example, getting them married off at birth. Or alternatively, making it such that they will go out of their home at a certain age, and we force them or pressure them to bring a certain amount of income. Now, working voluntarily is one thing, but making them work to earn their keep, that is entirely a different thing. That's why our religion is one of the first religions that have made it clear that if a man has daughters, he raises them with morals and character. I mean, the hadith is beautiful. It uses the word and implies morals and character. Why does it use the word morals and character and dignity? Because Allah knows how sick men at times by nature are. They will make that girl go out and do things that are inappropriate. You know, there is a Sahabi, What a beautiful hadith. A woman came begging to him, and he gave her a tremendous amount of money. People said, what's wrong with you? Just give like a dollar, give a dirham, give a dinar, that's it. Why did you give so much? He says, I gave her a lot, so that way she can go and relax in peace in her home, or do what is necessary and fulfill the needs of her family. Because if I give her a little, someone will challenge her or tempt her with haram by saying, here's an extra money, I want you to do this with me and I want you to do that with me. So to maintain her dignity, I don't want her to sell off herself. That's why I gave her extra. So although the issue of working and going to college is a sensitive issue, there is place for that, there is a room for that. But what is your intention for doing it? You know, women come up and they send questions to us all the time to say, Imam, what do you think of this occupation versus that occupation? There is no limitation on occupation. Sisters, if you want to become a motor mechanic, you are welcome to become a motor mechanic. But the question is, for what purpose? Is it to help other women that have cars? Wonderful. You want to become a pharmacist, you want to become a dentist, to have children and other women? Do you know there are even women that are non-Muslims that will prefer to go to a woman for their needs? Because they say, men out there, some of them are sick in nature. We don't want to deal with them. So we need women in every profession. We need parents to educate them in every profession. But the question is, for what purpose? For what outcome? So she brings money to feed her husband, brings money to feed her dad that already has money and just makes bad investments? No, that's not Islam. So again, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُوذَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. That girl that was killed when she was a minor, she will get up on the day of reckoning, on the day of Qiyamah, and she'll say, what, my father, what did you kill me for? What did I do wrong? I was just born and you buried me in a hole. What people say? Only the Arabs back then used to do it. No, my brothers and sisters. Yes, they used to do it back then. People are doing it right now in different ways. You know, there was a fellow, he said it very beautifully. He said, you know, if the oppressor just killed me, he killed me. But he uses psychological torture on me, which makes me die every minute of my life. So we think killing is just bad. Yes, killing is bad. But psychological torture, playing with people's minds, playing with people's lives, having your wife wait at home while you are clubbing and partying, having your daughters always on the string, that you know, if you don't be careful, I'll get you married to that boy. But if you're good, I'll be friends with so-and-so and you get married to his son. These are games you are playing with someone's life. And Islam doesn't stand for that. You know, I was at a discussion the other day, and there was a question that was asked, and he says, why does Islam allow you to marry multiple women? It sounds like a very legitimate question, right? Out there, Muslims like to marry many women. You know, Islam is the only religion that says you must marry one woman. Islam is the only religion that says from its scripture you must marry one woman. The Jews instituted this around 1950s. As far as Christians are concerned, they could have also married as many as they wish. The LDS faith, our local faith, we know they also created changes to make it one later on. Islam is the only religion. Mathna wa thulatha wa ruba, it talks about that. Marry 2, 3, 4. But thereafter it says, فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. And the key word is أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. That if you are a man that cannot do justice, if you are a man that's going to commit wrongful acts, if you are a man that's going to be imbalanced in your social relations, فَوَاحِدَةً, واحد is one in Arabic, then you must marry one. No religion out there gives women that right, or the husband that right, that says, I only want to be with you and no one else. Talk of human rights. So Allah is saying in the Quran here that those of us that abuse women, those of us that hurt women, those of us that want to take away lives of innocent individuals out there, especially at birth. وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ, regarding that individual that was killed at youth, at birth, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ, that individual on that day will get up and say, what did I do wrong? Oh my father, that you made, you created such oppression upon me. There were Sahaba that converted to Islam. You know, when they saw this ayah, they cried like babies. Sahaba are companions. You know, why do we call companion a companion? You know, your friend will say they are your companion. They will say they love you, we are together. But when things go on the downtrend, everybody runs away. There is no true companion out there in today's time. But Sahaba are called companion because they had suhba. You know, they loved the Prophet of Allah. Even the companions of Isa alayhi salam, known as Jesus, peace be upon him, and the companions of Musa alayhi salam, known as Moses, peace be upon him, and the list goes on, they all had companions. And there were some that were very close. And you'll notice those that were companions with the various prophets, they stood by their prophets through thick and thin, night and day. They would love them, they would cherish them, they would listen to their advice. You know, as far as the Prophet of Allah is concerned, there were some people that loved him so much, they would actually have his shoes ready for him when he would come out of the home. There were some that would volunteer to stand outside his home in case someone wanted to attack him. Not because he had paid social security service, or what do you call this, secret service. No. They just loved him. So they wanted to be there for him. It wasn't like they made a list. Okay, from 5 in the morning to 8 in the evening, there'll be this group. And 8 in the evening to 2 a.m., there'll be that group. Nothing like that. People would volunteer. There were some that loved him so much, they would look after his pillow. There were some that loved him so much, they would ensure that his bed was nice and safe for him when he would go to bed at night. There was one, and we know very well, regarding the immigration, the moving of one place to another. There was one Sahabi that actually slept the night in his bed. So people will give and award safety and security to the Prophet of Allah, not thinking he was there in the bed to attack him. So, when you look at our religion, it is very vast. You know, people say Islam is simple. Yes, it is a very simple religion, but in its simplicity, there is complexity as well. So Allah says in the Quran, that young child will ask on that day, that wife that you have married, that you have done wrong to, she will ask on that day. Your daughters that you have will ask on that day. Your nieces will ask on that day. Your granddaughters will ask on that day. What will they ask? They will ask, oh my father, oh my grandfather. Yes, it was wonderful you said, you're my daughter. You use your own intelligence and make your own mind. I'll be there for you, even if you did wrong. On that day, that daughter will ask, Dad, you killed my faith. When you allowed me to go out and come back irresponsibly, even though you knew I was doing something wrong, you said, you are old enough. You tried to be liberal. I'm not saying now be hurtful to them. But oh my father, you wanted to be liberal because you wanted to gain certain benefit in this world for whatever reason. Oh my father, if you just, remember I'm using the word father. Ar-rijalu qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. Allah says, you are a man, and by being a man, you must do responsible things by guiding your women folk to that which is good. I'm not saying oppressing them. I'm not saying beating them. I'm not saying locking them in their homes. I'm not saying committing harm to them. My brothers, I'm just going over the tafsir of this ayah. People will say, why am I talking so long about this topic? It's We're linking everything from Quran Hadith to this ayah on what Allah intends through this ayah and the Hadith regarding the value of women. So we're not, I know there's a media here. We're not doing this topic for the media. We just happen to be continuing, and today the media happens to be here. So having said that, Allah has given them as a responsibility to you. As I say, either you're a father, you are a brother, you are a husband, you are a son. Each one is linked to woman in some form or the other. So knowing this, and knowing that Allah has given you this responsibility, take it very, very seriously. You know, we have young children coming to learn. And one thing, and everyone says the Imam is very strict, the Imam is this, the Imam is that. One goal I have for every child, especially every girl. You go home, if your child has come and studied here, what do I tell him to learn? Learn Surah Waqiyah. Why do I ask them to learn Surah Waqiyah? Because I know for a fact, statistically, after they get married, the husband is going to say something to them. You are eating too much, or you're doing this too much, or go on a diet, or go and earn, or go to college and make money. And we learn from Hadith, let your daughters read Surah Waqiyah after Maghrib, and through doing that, Allah will give them barakah from hidden places. Make your daughters learn the Surah Yasin. Get them in the habit of getting up for Fajr Salah. Get them in a habit, that's your duty as a mother and father. That's the least you can do. You're not oppressing them. You're giving them good habits. Other religions do it too. They get up for morning prayer. It's nothing unusual. Chicken also get up early in the morning. Animals also get up in the morning. This is something our religion has in place for their benefit. Read the Surah Mulk after Isha Salah, and you will see in your house gradually it'll become a peaceful place. The challenge that's there, it'll become much more reduced in nature. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, I know a long time ago, if I'm not mistaken, someone mentioned to our president, Dr. Salman Saab, the Imam must talk about women's rights. And I don't like to make things a focal point, but it so happened, while starting the 30th Juz, Allah brought this ayah forward. So we have covered the aspects of female rights. We've covered the aspects of our responsibility, in brief. But one thing, my brothers and sisters, understand full well. Allah says in the Quran, He has given women folk to you, not given them as a... What you know how someone gives you a car, we're not saying they're like property, but Allah has brought them in your lives to strengthen your iman, not weaken your iman. As I tell this all the time, when a man has a girlfriend, I'm not saying you must have a girlfriend, the Quran says وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً, don't go and play around there. But when you have them as friends, you buy them roses, you buy them this and you buy them that. But once you have them as wives, I mean, when last did you give your wife a rose? I know Haji Saab gives them a lot. You know why? Because he has nice plants in the back, so he probably gives them every day. Alhamdulillah. But giving them an eggplant that you grow to make them cook for you, that's not a rose. But maybe the branches, that's something else. What I'm trying to say is, when last have you given them? When your daughter gets married, they must put nice roses for your daughter. When last have you... I'm not saying, by the way, go and spend money and waste money, but grow. You know, there was one man, he was about 75 years old. You know, this man was so simple. I was going into his house, he invited me over. Oh, he's walking, and I'll end up with the story. He was very frail, he's walking, and he stops and he looks at me and he says, just wait here, young man, wait here. I said, okay, I'll wait here. He goes back to his car and he takes out a pruning thing, a shear. I said, Inna lillah, what is this guy going to do? He takes out this pruning thing and he comes by the tree and he snips out the rose. 75-year-old man snips off the rose, puts his hand in the pocket and he takes out a serviette. you know, in restaurants, the napkin, paper napkin. And he puts it around and he tells me, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you something. I said, okay. He knocks on the door. He has a key. His wife opens and he says, darling, this is for you. And this woman, she was probably about 70 years old. She had the biggest smile on her face. And he didn't do it to impress me. She immediately went, and there was a bunch of vases around the house. There was a red rose, there was a yellow rose, there was a pink rose, you name it. And he says, you know, to me, I never got into an argument with my wife. The man can hardly talk, he can hardly walk. But he knows what he told me. I never got into an argument with my wife, he's telling me. And his wife says, why should I get in an argument with him? He's a loving. If you looked at that house, it was the most simple house. Wallahi, you will cry when you look at that house. It was simple, but there was love in that house. Why was there love in this house? Because this man was creative. He'd never go spend once a year at the local place to buy a bunch of roses to impress and next day have a big argument. He was consistent in his love. He was creative in his love. And by growing the rose, his garden looked nice. He had peace in his house. He supported the environment. It was a win-win situation. So my brothers, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. When you heard that innocent woman out there, Allah is going to ask you about it. Respect her. And Allah will give you dignity and your family dignity as well. Inshallah, next week we'll continue with other ayah. I know I was told Brother Salfaraz, if I'm not mistaken, lost his mother, or somebody from the family lost their mother. May Allah give a general for those. Also, I heard the member from Kari in a Hurry also lost a family member, inshallah. Maybe Dr. Salman Sahib will add on to that. We make dua that Allah give them general for those as well. Wa akhada wa alhamdulillah.